Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one, and we do give you all a warm welcome into our service tonight in the name of the Lord. And maybe everything didn't just go as planned this morning, but you know, when Jordy was just saying, Frank is a converted Roman Catholic, and it's a pretty big thing for him even to come into one of these orange halls. It's like me and you getting into the chapel. Him coming into the orange hall, there's no difference really. Now, I know you are looking at me when I tell you that, church of truth. And I tell you, some of us wouldn't want to go into the chapel. And if you remember the orange, you're not allowed in the chapel, did you know that? That's one of the rules of the orange order. You're not allowed into the chapel. But yet with all the boys that made that rule, some of them attend chapel. I know it's called church, but church no different than the chapel, for they don't preach the gospel. Is that the truth? It's absolutely the truth, isn't it? Not everywhere preaches Christ. The preach works. But thank God for Christ this evening. Praise the Lord. It's Jesus Christ alone. So we just thank the Lord for Frank and our sister as well, Sandra. And we're going to get a better place for baptisms where we can go. And we need to get our own hall as well. And we need to get out of here. And I know some of you think in here is all right, but I don't think it is. And that's the truth of it. Because on our midweek services, too many times I'm in the middle of preaching and somebody's in this kitchen behind me. And I'm telling you, that disturbs the Holy Spirit. I believe that. And we need to get our own place. So let's keep praying, keep believing that God will do it. And God can do it. Praise God. God can do it. That's the thing about it. God can do it. Praise the Lord. Good to see Eileen's mum tonight. God bless you, Mrs. Hearn. Good to see you. And I'll tell you, it's great, you know, that we don't know what we're going to do when we get older. We just need the Lord, don't we? We need the Lord. And my sister's had her different scans and things today. I want to keep praying for her that everything will turn out good. No matter what the news is, it'll still turn out good. And my Auntie Eileen as well, she's been very faithful. Just think, my Auntie Eileen's been faithful, coming to the meetings for years. From started at the very start, she's came to the services. And then Keith came as well and got saved. And they both came along to the meetings ever since that. And we just thank the Lord. So we want to keep praying for Auntie Eileen as we have been praying. And pray for John as well over in Australia. My Auntie Carl, and you know, I was just telling a couple of brothers where John will be going into Philadelphia to preach in America. Now, that church used to be a nightclub, not the church, but the building where there's a church now was a nightclub, and it closed down. And them brothers bought it and they've turned it into a church, and it's a real good church. And there was a real good turnout the last time we were there. A lot of Spanish people came. And there's a brother came up from New York. Brother came up from New York the last time me and Andrew was over there preaching. And me and Andrew was both meant to go to New York. And it was all planned for us to go to New York. We're going to have meetings with New York. But the pastor almost died. It must have been around the time after COVID or before the COVID. That pastor, all his organs closed down. He almost died. And all the plans was changed. And we never ended up in New York. But the Lord knows all these things, and we just commit it all to the Lord. Let's stand tonight to our feet, just to get you moving a bit. Praise God. We're going to, this is just a simple message tonight. The title is The Simple Gospel. Simple Gospel, and I won't hold you as long tonight. Romans 5, verse 5 to 6. Very well known portion. Romans 5, and it's one of my favorite books. Romans 5, verses 5 and 6. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Let us bow tonight, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing. And if you have a need, lift your hand before God, and the Lord's promised us that he'll answer our prayers. Amen. Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before you tonight In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And Lord, we enter because of the blood of the Lamb. We would say with the one that penned it tonight, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Father, we cling tonight to your cross. And we plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And we ask for the Holy Spirit to move in this house. I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I come against the spirit of infirmity and fear and anxiety. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. For you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of truth. And that of a sound mind. Lord, I'm asking you for the hands raised. You know the secret prayers. You know the needs. I'm asking you to meet every single need. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, tonight. Thank you for Sandra and Frank. I pray you'll continue to bless them and touch them. And Lord, you know our hearts and their hearts and how everything was. And we just commit it all to you. And we ask you, bless them. And Lord, we need a place what we can have as a house of God. And we're asking you to provide for us, Lord, a place that we can have as a house of God. And Father, I pray that every spirit will be subject to your Holy Spirit. I'm asking you for all our sons and daughters, all our relations that's still outside of you, your kingdom. I pray you'll save them. We claim every one of them in Jesus Christ's name. Pray for my wee sister tonight. Lord, I am asking you that you'll touch her. I'm asking you that all will come out well and good in Jesus Christ's name. Pray you'll rid her of fear and unbelief. And oh God, that you'll do her good in Jesus' precious name. Pray for me, Auntie Eileen, you'll touch her as well. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Make her a testimony in that hospital, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. You remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, bless your word tonight and bless and touch your people. Bless each one in this house tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. While we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, that's what we were. At lifting up at the right time in our behalf, Christ died for the ungodly. At the right time. There's another scripture says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son into the world to save the world. To save. Jesus came to save. Christ is the gospel, and the gospel is Christ. How simpler can I give you than that? Last week I told you, it's the mercy seat's in Jesus. It's not anywhere else. It's in the Lord Jesus. Christ is the gospel, and the gospel is Christ. With great plainness and the utmost simplicity, this text sets forth the good news for us, the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's three things here it stresses tonight which Christ does for sinners, and I'm going to mention them tonight, and it's a short message. But I want you just to listen for a few minutes this evening. How Christ saw us. And this verse 6 tells us how Christ saw us. Christ saw us when we were yet without strength. So the Lord Jesus saw us without strength, and he died for us. That's how he saw us. And a man or a woman, if Christ saw you and me tonight without strength, every single man and every single woman, whether they know it or not, they could lift the world up with their arms and do all feats and earthly things, but they're without strength. Without strength. For without Christ, they're without strength. There's a strange viewpoint abroad that Christ only saves good people. A lot of people have that viewpoint. That viewpoint is absolutely false. And it's not the Bible. And there's not one piece of scripture to prove that viewpoint. But there's many scriptures the opposite. Christ saw us strengthless sinners. For when we were yet without strength. Now sin leaves man weak. It leaves man helpless, hopeless, and away from God. And apart from God. Away from God. And it leaves man without strength. Man is utterly unable to lift up or save himself, as is weak as a baby. dear sister, the night as we, Eli, and as God's nursed him the night, and as God has to nurse him, he's too young. He's too young. He can't walk yet. He can't do anything for himself yet. He needs his mother's attention, his father's attention, because he's a baby. And whether men or women realize it or not, we're like a baby without Christ. We're helpless. We're without strength. We need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's strength. And that's why the Lord came for us. Sinners without strength, legally, morally, mentally, physically, and spiritually, they're without strength. And Christ saw us as ungodly sinners. That's how he saw us. Sinners without God in their thoughts and their lives and their hopes without God. Helpless and hopeless without Christ. You know, I remember many, many years ago, and I've told you before, it's no secret, I was influenced by Ian Paisley. I'll actually tell you, there's two men that greatly influenced me. Ian Paisley was one of them. Reinhard Bonnke was another one. Them are the men that influenced me. Obviously, William Branham did, Smith Wigglesworth, there's lots of them. But I'm talking about, in this country, men that I seen and knew, Ian Paisley was one of them. And Ian Paisley in Dromore, in the Free Peace in Dromore years ago, preached a powerful sermon. And he preached a sermon that we're without strength, without Christ. And he brought out the things that we're helpless without Christ, we're hopeless without Christ, and we're homeless without Christ, and we're godless without Christ. For we haven't got Christ, we haven't got God. And we haven't got Christ, we're without a home. So we're going to hell. And hell was never made for man. It was made for the devil and his fallen angels and his followers. But because if we reject Christ, we'll go to hell. And I tell you, that's a terrible thing, isn't it? But when you've got Christ, you've got a friend. You've got a home. And not only have you got a home, you have someone that's coming for you. You have someone that says, I'm coming again for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Someone coming for you. What do you think of that? That's what Christ does for us. Let me read you this wee quotation this evening from a message called God Making His Promise. Just exactly what the human race says, we're absolutely, totally lost. And we're not sufficient in ourselves. We have got to have the shepherds lead us and to guide us. We're lost without it. We cannot save ourselves, no matter how good your program will be, no matter what kind of motive you have towards the program, what is your alternatives, or how great your church is, that's all fine. Nothing against it. But without the shepherd, you're lost and you're fighting the wind. True, you must have the shepherd. So without Christ, we have no strength. We're hopeless. Now here's another thing he says in verse 6. And he tells us, so first of all, we've no strength without the Lord. The Lord saw us, helpless and hopeless. And the old Christ saw us. Christ not only saw us like that, but there's another thing he did. We were helpless and hopeless, but Christ saw us. He saw us. We never sought him, he sought us. He sought us. There's a young man this morning come in here, which is a Roman Catholic, which wouldn't be coming here, but the Lord brought him here. The devil didn't bring him. I'll tell you that. The Lord brought him. And he took the Lord's name. And no matter what way things went, maybe not his plan, but he still took the Lord's name. And he said, God touched him. God touched him here. You see how Christ saw us. How did he do it? It tells you in verse 6, in due time. In due time, at the right time, Christ saw us. The Bible says when the fullness of time was come, that was at the end of the Old Testament dispensation. God was bringing in a new time, a new age, and Christ came. And the New Testament started. The new dispensation started at the right time, at the due time. Christ saw us. And if you say that something will happen or take place in a due course, you mean that you cannot make it happen any quicker and will happen when the time is right for it. And Jesus Christ came right at the right time. He never was a minute early or a minute late. He came at the right time. The set time, meaning the end of the ages of the Old Testament. That's what it means. The set time, the right time. Christ showed us at the right time historically, not 1 second before due time, nor a second after it, but at the right time. Here's what Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5 says. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman. I love that verse. You never hear too many preaching on that. Made of a woman. But he was made of a woman. He condescended, you see. He came down. He lowered himself, lower than the angels. Took upon him the form of a man. Became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Because he was taking our place. Look what it says. Made under the law. So he subjected himself to the law. He became obedient to it. He never broke it. He fulfilled it. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. So we were not a people. Once received and born again, we become God's people. See, the Jews was God's people. But they put them on a cross. And the Jews were cast off so that us Gentiles could come in. And Paul tells us that the casting off of the Jews is the bringing in of the Gentiles. Now we see the Gentiles are all near in. God's going to turn back to the Jews. That's when your rapture takes place. And we'll leave this scene of time. And it's close, brothers and sisters. Very close to the coming of the Lord. Christ saw us at the right time, providentially. Today, as you hear these words, due time has come providentially. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. What time? The Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Now is the right time. There'll come a time when it'll be too late, but now is the time to get saved. Amen. Oh, but Pastor, I'm too young. I'm too old. Now is the time. Now is the accepted time. You're never too young. You're never too old. Now is accepted time. And in the day of salvation, I've succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while you can. Now I know a man, and he was close to getting saved. And he was greatly moved at the time of Rock's funeral. And God really spoke with him. And God spoke to this man, and he was going to see the minister, and he was going to see me, but he never seen either two of us. Now he's not close tonight to getting saved. He put it off. He put it off. And Agrippa in the Bible says, Paul, I will call on thee at some more convenient season. I'll get saved some other time, Paul. But you don't read of him calling or coming. And there's many a man and a woman that comes close. But they never get it. And I tell you, it's a terrible thing never to get it. And old W.P. Nicholson and all them great old preachers, they believed the unpardonable sin was rejecting Christ for the last time. Now, I'm not saying they're completely right, but there's truth in it. There's absolutely truth in that. It has to be. Sure, if you do that, you're finished. You've grieved the Spirit of God away. Foreordained to hear these words in due time. He was passed. He passed your way. Your time has come. You know, when you hear the gospel, the Bible says how beautiful are those, the feet of those that preach the gospel of truth. And I tell you, when you hear the gospel, God has spoke to you. Amen. And it's the right time. You're going to have no excuse. That was the right time. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, for he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, on a day of salvation. Now here's the third thing tonight, how Christ saved us. So he looked at us as but helped us, then he sought us. Then we want to see how Christ saved us. Christ died for the ungodly. We could never save ourselves, but he died for the ungodly. One, Christ must stoop in order to reach us. He stooped. There was nobody took a stoop like the stoop the Lord took. What a stoop he took. That he humbled himself to the death of the cross. What a stoop. The King of glory, the Lord Almighty, stooped down so low that he could reach us. What a stoop. The whole way to the cross. They plucked his beard out and they smote him on the face and they beat him on the head and they spat on him. And then they scourged him. And Brother Laurie, Jesus was so weak and so beaten and so frail that he couldn't even carry his own cross. And there was a colored man, Simon, and he carried the cross for Jesus. God loves the colored people. I'll tell you that right now. And he's going to save them. And a prophet of God at the end time says, I can see thousands of black people with straws coming out of their ears. They're listening to the word of God. They're listening to the message. And Reinhard Bonnke, he said, I see a blood-washed Africa. And I tell you, God's people everywhere is reaching. And you know the whole thing's turned round. Over 100 years ago, the white man was going out to countries to take the gospel. But now some of them countries is coming here. And there's nowhere that needs it more than England. And I was talking to a man yesterday, and he's going to do missionary work in England, and he's praying, and the minister in England's rang him to give him a whole thing about England, how that the churches are closing in England, and have no time for the gospel and Christ in England. We're blessed yet in this wee country. Do you know that? We're blessed here. The churches in every corner. We might agree with everything they say, and they might agree with everything we say. But you know, most of them do preach the gospel to be saved, don't they? That's the blessing of the Lord. We had fallen so low that it took a mighty stoop of the Almighty God to reach us. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who's made lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every single man. Christ tasted death for us. What grace this is which led Christ to take that step. Christ must suffer in order to reconcile us to God. We deserve to pay the penalty of sin. The soul that sinneth must surely die, either in person or in a substitute person. And the Bible says, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. And Jesus Christ became a curse when they hung him on the tree of the cross. The curse that was on me, the curse that was on you, he took it of you and me. He took it. And he became a curse for me and you. And he bore the sin of the whole world. Want you to get that again this evening. Want you to know that Jesus Christ didn't just bear the sin of the chosen few. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ on the cross bore the sins of the whole world. And I want you to know that my Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world, not just part of it, all of it. And he says in verse 17, he's not willing that any should perish. God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. The soul that sinneth must die, but Christ took our place. Christ became the substitute for us, and he suffered to satisfy the divine justice and reconcile us to God. Christ must sacrifice in order to redeem. He sacrificed in order to redeem. He paid the required amount of debt to clear us of all debt. We had a debt. We had a debt of sin. We had a debt. The Bible says the wages of sin's death. And our debt was so high. Death penalty was on every one of us. But Jesus Christ took our death penalty. Death row. He was on death row at Calvary. And he took our death row. And he conquered death and he conquered hell. And he rose on the third day. That's what Easter's all about. The resurrection. And he done it because he loves us. Young woman, the Lord loves you tonight. Young man, the Lord loves you tonight. Older man, older woman, the Lord loves you. Died for you on the cross. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, no remission. Thank God that Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. Christ shed his blood in a sacrifice. The price of our redemption. The fountain of the blood is open for sinners. Why should we clean? You know, though millions have come, there's still room for one. Jesus Christ conceived the night. Zechariah 13 and 1. And I'm closing and a brother's going to come. I told you I wouldn't hold you as long tonight. Zechariah 13 verse 1. And that day there shall be a fountain opened in the house of David unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And I tell you, Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed his blood that we could be clean. And there's only one way to be clean, and that's to be washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other fount I know that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I tell you, the Lord loves you tonight. You can wash in his precious blood. Then here's the words you'll hear. Thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. For they're washed away into the sea of God's great forgetfulness. The sins of thy youth is gone. Thank God for it tonight. You know, I had a young man that I met recently, 21 years of age. Met him on a building site and we got friendly. Nice young man, not saved. He knew I was saved and I shared with him what I could. He goes on our readings. I have a daily reading up every single morning. Probably about 6:30 or so I put it up. Scripture, picture of a tractor. Just to draw the interest. And people go on there and they can read it. And when I was placed in prison, there was a police officer that I wrote to out of jail. I sent him a Christmas card. He got me jailed. He lived just across the road from me, from my mother's house here. And I told him, I'll not name his name, and I said, I don't hold it against you, you're doing your job. But I want to tell you a wee thing, you need to get saved. And I says, you see, Tommy McKinstry's got saved. Tommy McKinstry won't be in jail again for the things he's in jail for, because he's got saved. But you need to get saved. And I tell you, that policeman got saved. Not only did he get saved, but I never seen him for a long, long time. But this young man that I befriended, 21 years old, was doing a bit of work for him there a few weeks ago. And he mentioned his name to me, and I told him the story, and he said, yes, he knows you well. And he says, the night they followed you in the car, the police were radioed in from the station. And they were told by the commanding officer, stop the chase, because somebody's going to be killed in this car chase. And I was the car in front. It was a V8 Rover. She had a baldy tire on one side and the back. But of course, being 18 years of age, I thought that was great, for she slid round the corners better on that side. But they followed me. It was dangerous. But they were told to stop the chase. And he told us all to this young man, and he was telling me. And then he says, and the young fella says to him, and he says, Tommy, he said, I tell you, he still got that Christmas card. He got that Christmas card in 1990 from the Crumlin Road Jail. And I was serving the Lord a year when I was jailed because I told the truth. Told the truth and got jailed. But it was Lara dead. And I thank God for it tonight. I tell you, if God can save me, he can save anybody. The Lord loves you tonight. Let's stand our feet as our brother prepares to come in a moment. And don't forget, we have no Bible study this Thursday night because Brother Andrew's going to be being lifted from the airport and we have too much to do. But we'll start our services on Friday night at 7:30. Friday night, Saturday night, 2 meetings on Sunday. Pray for these meetings. Bring a friend and be blessed. Let's bow our heads tonight. with every head bowed, every eye closed, if God has spoke to somebody tonight and you want prayer, lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, you've lifted us from a horrible pit. We thank you this evening for the lovely words of our Lord Jesus. My peace I give you, and my peace I leave with you. Thank you for your peace tonight. Father, pray for the hands raised. You'll bless them. For anybody hear this message, give them decided grace to come to Christ and get saved. Thank you for those that's come. But Lord, we want to see you moving in our families and our friends. We're asking you to save souls. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, I do earnestly pray for any over this country that preaches the truth, that goes out and does the wee meetings and preaches the gospel. May you bless them and touch them and watch over them. Lord, just help us to serve you. Bless our brother Andrew as he prays to come. Touch our hearts. And Father, have your way tonight. Bless all these young musicians. We thank you for every one of them, from the youngest to the oldest. Bless everyone in this house tonight and those that's praying for loved ones. Lord, give them the answered prayer. And those that's great needs tonight, Lord, you know every need we have. Father, we pray you'll meet the need pressed down and running over the top. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, as a brother comes.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, a day I shall never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Saviour, I met. Oh, what